Got a question for you. It is a simple question, but can have various different meanings depending on who you ask. Who is a VFL? Who is considered a Vol for life? We'll get to it today on Wednesday's show, coming up now on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Wednesday, everybody, and welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols. It is your go-to Tennessee Volunteers podcast each and every weekday morning on YouTube or wherever you find your podcast. It's your number one listen, your number one watch. And guys, thank you so much for coming and hanging out. I'm your host, Eric Kane. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee at 99.1 The Sports Animal. That's the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. And I also write for the rival site covering Tennessee. That is VolQuest.com. If you're new to the show, welcome to it. Thanks so much and hope you stay around. Again, rate, review, subscribe, and throw a little thumbs up, a little heart on the YouTube page. Write a review on Apple Podcasts. All your work is very, very much appreciated. Okay, so we got a busy day to get into, and this is going to be, again, a little bit of a longer episode, and I do apologize. We're going to get into Athlon's preseason All-SEC teams here in Segment 1. Josh Ward will stop by for Ward Wednesday in Segment 2. And then finally, we're going to conclude this show with a conversation on what a VFL truly is. And this might carry over into a Thursday show, and that's okay. If you guys have thoughts and you want to DM me at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols, please do. We'll get to that later in the show, but I'm really excited about this conversation on, you know, who is a VFL? But let's go ahead and get started with those Athlon rankings, all right? So, again, you guys have probably heard me make comments in the past about how preseason all-conference teams are kind of hilarious, to be completely honest with you. Depending on what publication you look for and all that, I mean, they truly are, because they put out, like, four teams. And I'm not making fun of Athlon here, because over the next couple weeks, you will see this from different publications. They put out like four teams, and then as you get down to like the third and the fourth team, they have like four wide receivers. They have like six defensive linemen. They have like five linebackers. So it's like, it's literally just trying to give praise and give a nod to anyone that logged a snap last year. So that's my issue with preseason rankings, okay? Preseason all-conference teams. That's why you can't really take it, you know, a lot of this. You got to take it with a grain of salt, essentially. It's nice to get that nod, a little preseason recognition from, you know, Field Steel or from Athlon or from 247 or from Rivals, On3, you know, whatever, the AP, you know, whatever, right? But at the end of the day, it's how you performed during the season to where the stuff that goes on the resume is those postseason accolades, all right? So this is kind of, I view this more as just a watch list, if you will. But Tennessee had a good showing. Athlon Sports put out its preseason all-SEC football team for the 2022 year. They are projecting these players who will have breakout years or good years for their respective teams. And Tennessee had 10 players spanned across four of the teams. Two on the first team, two on the second team, three on the third team, and three on the fourth team. Anybody want to guess who was a first-team accolade? Probably didn't take you long to figure it out. It's not going to be Hendon Hooker, because you have the reigning Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young of Alabama coming back. But it is Cedric Tillman, his go-to wide receiver out there. And he, along with Keyshawn Boutte of LSU, are the top two wide receivers on the first team offense. So Cedric Tillman getting a nod on the first team offense. What about second team? This can go a number of different ways, but if you're thinking about it, you're probably channeling in on the defensive line. You're probably channeling in on a guy on the edge, and that's Byron Young. Byron Young of Tennessee, named to the first team preseason All-SEC team per Athlon, pairing him with fellow defensive lineman from Alabama, Byron Young. Not a typo, not a misprint. There are two Byron Youngs. That is kind of funny. You go to the second team in Tennessee, that's where Hendon Hooker comes in. And that's very interesting, because you have Bryce Young as the first team quarterback. And then think about all the other options you have as quarterbacks that could be up there at the second team. You have KJ Jefferson of Arkansas. You have, obviously, Will Levis, who's getting a lot of, you know, preseason love at Kentucky. You have Will Rogers of Mississippi State. There's a number of different ways you can go with this. Anthony Richardson's getting a whole lot of love, but it is Hendon Hooker that gets the nod on the second team offense. I think that's the right way when you look at what he can do through the air, what he can do through, you know, on the ground, his stats, his completion percentage. You're number two in the system. I think that's a no-brainer. That was the right decision to give Hendon Hooker the call for the second team offense. On defense, linebacker Jeremy Banks, and, you know, a lot of this is stat-based, right? I think Jeremy Banks' stats can get even better. He was a tackle machine last year, and he made so much strides and so much improvements but I think he can get even better. But Jeremy Banks, along with B.J. Ojulari, you know, Brennan Cox, you know, J.J. Weaver. This is, again, second team defense has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 linebackers. Point exactly right here. It didn't even take to the third team. But nonetheless, you know, good for Jeremy Banks getting that second team nod. You go to the third team, and Tennessee has an offensive lineman. Probably, you know, it's either going to be Jerome Carvin or Darnell Wright, you know, right? Cooper Mays hadn't played enough. And then, of course, it's not going to be Spraggins. He didn't have a very good season last year per the, you know, the grading scale. And then you don't know who the left tackle is going to be right now. But it is Jerome Carvin, the veteran. Jerome Carvin is listed as a third-team offensive lineman for the University of Tennessee. On the defensive lineman, another guy on the trench players, it's Tyler Barron. And Tyler Barron can be up on one of these first two teams, in my opinion, if he can stay on the field. Tyler Barron, simply put, just doesn't have the snap log, right? I mean, I feel like durability is an issue there, but the talent's undeniable if he could just stay on the field. And so Tyler Barron receiving a third-team nod. And one other one, a specialist for the third team would be Paxton Brooks, the punter. And then you go to the fourth team. Tennessee has three more representatives there, running back Jabari Small. And this is no disrespect to Jabari Small. I like him. I think he's a good back. Durability is an issue, of course. But you're getting to the point now where you're like, okay, so who played last year? Who can I put on this fourth team? I voted for the first time for the preseason All-SEC team per the media last year at SEC Media Days. I plan on doing it again this year. And, I mean, it's ridiculous. I remember it took me forever because they asked for four teams as well. And you get to the fourth team, you're just like, well, goodness gracious, who in the world, who am I going to put out there? But, you know, Jabari Small gets the nod at running back, at offensive line. You do have Darnell Wright. I would probably flip Darnell Wright and Jerome Carvin. You know, for nitpicking here, Darnell Wright going to the third team, Jerome Carvin going to the fourth team. Not that Jerome Carvin can't have an NFL future, but Darnell Wright will, and he will be drafted, in my opinion. Probably not in the first round, per CBS, way too early mock draft, but he will be a draft pick come next year. And then finally, you will have Darnell Wright does on the offensive line, and then you have another defensive player in safety, Trayvon Flowers. You could pick your poison there. Could it be Trayvon? Could it have been Jalen McCullough, two veteran safeties who have played a ton? Athlon went with Trayvon Flowers, the fifth-year defensive back, and, you know, both of those guys, you know, really need to get better in terms of, you know, playing their position better in 2022. So, a little interesting there. Again, this is more of a watch list, in my opinion, but Tennessee well-represented, and you'd hope so if there's four teams. We'll span the first and second teams real quick before we hit our first break. You know, Bryce Young's the quarterback of the first team of Alabama, no surprise. Tank Bigsby and Chris Rodriguez of Auburn and Kentucky are two running backs, no shocker there. Tillman and Boudet of LSU in Tennessee, no shocker there. Tight end Brock Bowers of Georgia, okay, for sure. You have Ricky Stromberg of Arkansas, Layden Robinson of A&M, Nick Broeker of Ole Miss, Broderick Jones of Georgia, and Ikor Jr. of Alabama is your offensive line. Look at the defense. Jalen Carter of Georgia, Derek Hall of Auburn, Byron Young and Byron Young of Alabama and Tennessee, respective. That's your defensive line. You have Will Anderson Jr., who's the best player in the country at a linebacker, Nolan Smith of Georgia at linebacker, Henry Toltuo, former Vol, not a VFL. We'll get to that later on. As a linebacker, and Bumper Poole, back for more of Arkansas, is a first-team linebacker. Look at the cornerbacks, Keely Ringo of Georgia, Cam Smith of South Carolina, and the safeties, Jordan Battle and Antonio Johnson of Alabama and A&M. Those are your first-team defenders. Look at the second team around, Hendon Hooker at quarterback. You got Devon, I forgot how to say his name, that running back of A&M. Kenny McIntosh of Georgia. All right, two guys have played a lot of football. Jermaine Burton, formerly of Georgia, now he's at Alabama, getting in the nod there. Josh Van, South Carolina, wide receiver. Jaheim Bell of South Carolina, the tight end. We'll go on to the defense here. Notables on the defense for the second team, Brendan Cox Jr. at linebacker, J.J. Weaver at Kentucky at linebacker, Jeremy Banks, of course, and then your secondary guys, Eli Ricks of Alabama and Christopher Smith of Georgia, two guys that stand out. So a good showing for Tennessee, more of a watch list, but nonetheless, I think it shows that they expect Tennessee to win some games this year and to contend to, you know, maybe give Georgia a run for its money in that game, but likely, you know, finish second in the East, right around with Kentucky, in my opinion, and I think this voting does reflect that. All right, that's going to do it here for the Athlon preseason All-SEC teams. Again, there will be more coming out, and we'll touch base on that as the other publications release theirs in the coming week. We got Josh Ward for Ward Wednesday coming up next here on Locked On Vols, but BetOnline.net. It's your number one source for your sports stats and sports information. Find out the latest sports developments, the news, the odds, including this year's basketball championship matchup, the NHL Hockey Conference Finals. One team's already advanced on to the Stanley Cup Finals last night. Major League Baseball well into the second third of the season. Second fourth of the season, rather. And of course, the latest in the fighting news for both the MMA and the UFC in boxing. BetOnline.net, your continued source for your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, reality television, and so, so much more. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device. Learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. Hey guys, welcome back into Wednesday's Locked On Vols. And quick reminder that you have a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards if you take part in the Locked On Podcast surveys, where we want to get your feedback on Locked On Vols and some of the Locked On podcasts that you may listen to. How you do it, you go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. That's lockedon.com/survey. And if you complete the survey, you'll be enter to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. So be sure to speak well of your favorite show, which, of course, is Locked On Vols. It is Wednesday, so that means we bring on Josh Ward. And a couple of housekeeping things to get out of the way first. Josh Ward, of course, co-host of Josh and Swain on The Sports Animal, noon to 3 on weekdays. And I mean, he's been doing sports radio for about 10 years. He's been married for quite some time. He is a father of three. And earlier this week, he celebrated the big 2-5, his 25th birthday. Josh, happy birthday. And how was it earlier this week?
I like those numbers. That is good reporting by you, Eric Kane. It was a great birthday. Unfortunately, my actual age is starting to catch up with the amount of gray hairs that are popping up in the beard and up top. So, yeah, everything's got to even out at some point.
Hey, nothing wrong with a little salt mixed in with that pepper. It just shows experience. I don't have that yet, but I'm sure it'll be. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to be long for that to happen. But that's experience. That's a veteran, you know, type situation in the clubhouse. So
go look at photos of Josh pre child number two, post child number two. So little Max, I think he added some of the development that I've experienced.
Yeah, well, we can't ever let him forget that. Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, Tennessee baseball, two wins away from Omaha. It was very much interesting over the weekend. Had some theatrics against Campbell, had some theatrics, of course, against Georgia Tech. But wins the Knoxville Regional in sweeping fashion. Back-to-back Super Regionals, and now just two wins away. If you can take down Notre Dame later this weekend, Tennessee's heading back to Omaha. Quite the run here for Tennessee baseball.
Yes, and at this point, it's about meeting expectations. Tennessee expected to get to the Super Regional. Tennessee at home with a three-game series expects to get to Omaha. I don't think fans expected some of those theatrics or for the games on Saturday and Sunday to be as challenging as they were at times. But, you know, maybe we should expect a little bit more of that because you are playing good teams, especially at this point. You're in a Super Regional round. If Tennessee gets to Omaha, there won't be any bad teams, not even close to it, in the Final Eight. So Tennessee has to play good baseball, and at times is going to have to play better baseball than it has. But it also showed what it's capable of. Tennessee showed Saturday in the middle of that game and then against Georgia Tech late that until out number 27 has occurred with the other team leading, Tennessee has a good chance to win the game. And being down a run, I don't think meant anything to that team going into the ninth inning, especially with the top of the order there. Tennessee has elite talent. Tennessee has depth, and Tennessee has an abundance of confidence, which you need at this point because, truthfully, you're going to be down. You might lose. I mean, the expectation that Tennessee will win out the rest of the way would be unfair. So Tennessee will I don't know if it'll have its back against the wall at some point. I mean, if it loses a game, that means it can't again in whatever series we're talking about. But Tennessee has had a few times this season where it has had to answer the call, and just about every time it's done it.
Yeah, and I'm intrigued to see how they're going to play out starting pitching. Who's going to be that game three starter if needed? Is it going to be Chase Dolan? Is it going to be Chase Burns? Will it be Drew Beam again? Could it be Candon Sewell? Cortland Lawson, how is he going to respond defensively? He's been such a great defensive player all season long. Had a bad game against Georgia Tech, but I mean, nothing's ever going to be perfect. And of course, we're going to learn a whole lot more about Notre Dame as the week goes on. But let's shift gears here, Josh. Kind of a slow period for football, obviously, in the summer terms as camp season's kind of getting underway. Some topics that have kind of jumped up and been very they kind of caught on here, I guess is what we're going to say. VFL, what's your definition of a Vol for Life, and who qualifies as a Vol, as a VFL in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a complicated question. I think if you finish your time at the collegiate level at Tennessee and you move on to whatever's next, then you're going to qualify. Now, there can be some exceptions in the transfer era that we are now in, the transfer portal, where it's easier to move on. I'll give you an example of somebody who moved on, went somewhere else, but I would still put as a qualifying member, Ty Chandler. Went to Tennessee 4 years, finished his obligation. It's a coaching change. Went to North Carolina. He is drafted as a Tar Heel, but that's an in-state guy that played 4 years at Tennessee, went through some stuff at Tennessee that was not his fault. I think he's a VFL. Jarrett Garantano, I know that it didn't go the way he wanted or fans wanted. He was at Tennessee for 5 years.
Yeah.
Actually helped Tennessee win some important games. He's a VFL, in my opinion. Now, Henry To'oto'o, I don't think would qualify as a VFL. Wanya Morris, I don't think is a VFL. Spending a couple of years and then transferring somewhere else, it's going to take away the status. I jokingly, especially to Swain on the radio, will refer to VFL Lane Kiffin. But I don't think that he really qualifies. So from a player standpoint, I would say that. Fans can be interesting because a lot of Tennessee fans didn't attend the University of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is there a donation level that's required to earn that status? I don't know. At that point, I think it's up to you. But I look at the VFL, the Vol for Life title, to be more of a player thing or coach deal in some cases. But I look at it as more of a player thing with football or whatever sport. We had Connor Pavloni on, Josh and Swain. That's a guy that played baseball, helped get the program to where it is now as the catcher last year when they went to Omaha, and now is in the Orioles organization. He's watching the games, keeping up with the team. He's a VFL, no doubt about it. Fan interpretation, that can be another deal. But that's one where I think that belongs to the players more than anybody else by far.
Yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. And who am I to say? I didn't and I'll give my opinion later in the show, but I'm in alignment with a lot of what you just said right there. And we're going to hear from some other former Vols or VFLs, you know, some audio and you know, some text messages that I've sent out there on what they think a VFL is. But something interesting that we'll hear later in the show from Eric Ainge, I asked him, and he said, hey, I consider myself a letterman. I think VFL is a fan thing. So it's kind of opposite of what you're saying.
Okay.
Like, I'm a letterman. I'm a former player. I'm a letterman. VFL is a fan thing. So it's kind of interesting when you kind of, you know, get down into it. And like Brandon Kennedy is another good example. You know, started his career at Alabama, spent a couple years there, came to Tennessee as a transfer, finished here, yeah, gained 2 degrees. He's a Vol for Life. But then look at basketball. You know, Grant Williams was here for 3 years, left a year early, was a first round pick. I consider him a VFL. Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, you know, Kennedy Chandler. Those guys were first round picks, or Kennedy Chandler's going to be a first round pick likely. I'm not going to fault them for coming here 1 year and going and getting that money, right? So
totally agree.
You know, they're VFL. So it's interesting kind of the way you spin it. And I think anybody, you know, depending on who you ask, will have a different answer.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll jokingly ask Swain again. I'll ask, okay, so is a VFL card in jeopardy for a certain player? Like if a player shows up at another school's spring game on the sidelines, is that in jeopardy? Or if they get in trouble, or, you know, like Aaron Foster is a former teammate of Jason Swain, and he's had some difficult relationships with university at different times since he left, or even while he was at UT, I guess. So I leave that for their interpretation. I'll joke about it, but the reason I say that about the players is because they're the ones that had to put in the real work, mm-hmm, for the fans to be able to watch and see what was going on. And honestly, I think there are players that take the title, the description, more seriously than others. But another former player who I have a ton of respect for is Fred White, who started at safety on the 98 national championship team. And I would talk about this with him during the Dooley and Butch years. And he took that very seriously just because of what it meant to him to play for Tennessee, the amount of work that they put in and the relationships that were built. And I think part of this comes back to a message that the late Reggie White would deliver to now former players, but players on the team when he'd speak to the team and talk to them about what it means to be a Vol and to be a Vol for Life. So that's why I look at it from that angle. Those are the guys that put in the work. Not that fans don't matter. Of course they do. And they, mm-hmm, can claim VFL status. But I start with the players because they're the ones that put in the real physical work to make what fans cheer for and pull for and talk about what we talk about on the radio happen.
One more question, one more topic really to get to, just because they're two kind of loaded ones. And this is why I love this time of the year, because you can get, Logan Ward, now your nephew. We always joke about it's this time of the year where you find out if you're good at your job. And I've got some interesting topics I can't wait to get to on the show. One we're talking today, one later this week. Let me ask you this, man. Who's the best backup quarterback in the SEC right now? There's some quarterback competitions going on right now, LSU, Auburn, Texas A&M. I think the losers of those battles would have something to say about this. At South Carolina, Luke Doty, I think would have something to say about this. But what I'm getting at here is I think, and you never want to think this way, but if Joe Milton was pressed into action, there's a lot of other teams in the SEC that would be in far worse shape with who they have left in their quarterback room if their starter went down, meaning Joe Milton is talented. Joe Milton, sky's the limit for him. I still believe that. Didn't work out here as a starter early on into the 2021 season, but he has a case to be the best backup quarterback in the SEC, in my opinion.
Yeah, Texas A&M is an interesting answer because it's really difficult to tell who should be number one. You're talking about talented players, high upside players, but who's really proven as the guy? Texas A&M fans might even find out week one or two that they're more confident number two than their own number one. No. But I don't think that's the answer. My initial reaction is LSU. They've actually talked about three guys, but let's say that it's really Brennan versus Jaden Daniels, who I liked a lot at times at Arizona State. Whichever guy doesn't win that job, I like a lot. A lot of schools would trade for the backup to be their starter. So LSU's probably my answer. An interesting team in this conversation, I think, is Florida, because they have a transfer coming in Miller from Ohio State, mm-hmm. who, he might be a nice quarterback. Maybe he's their best quarterback. Maybe that's the answer. But, of course, we're expecting that their star young player that we've heard so much about his potential, Richardson, that he's going to be the guy. So whichever one is the number two, let's say it's Miller, he might actually be a really good player having come from Ohio State's program. So I think I lean LSU, but the highest potential week one, if something were to happen, I would probably say LSU, then Florida. A&M's interesting. Let's see. Alabama, the depth behind Bryce Young, they don't want to find out, but Ty Simpson's an intriguing freshman that's there. So that again comes back to potential. So I would go back to LSU, talent plus experience. And Joe Milton, again, potential, talent, all that. We know it's just too many question marks to mm-hmm. throw him into the top of the heap in that conversation.
I've been told Ole Miss wants to enter this chat as well, because apparently they're not sold on Jackson Dart being week one starter. I would imagine it's going to be Jackson Dart running that offense for Lane Kiffin. That's who I think is going to be week one starter. But Altmeyer, whatever his name is, got a little PT over here at Neyland Stadium last year. Apparently, he's a guy that a lot of Ole Miss fans have a lot of faith in as well. So, interesting conversation. We'll get in more with that later on this week. But something to think about, because, with Joe Milton, he started, Power 5 football games at two different schools. I still think that he is the most talented, athletically gifted, player on this roster. But, that's not everything, right? You got to be accurate. You got to be smart. You got to be able to run the offense. And, of course, that's where Hendon Hooker thrives right now. Josh, what's coming up later in the week on Josh and Swain? And, of course, where can we find more of your work?
Yeah, and by the way, I will add in just quickly, Georgia has a roster of really highly touted quarterbacks. So, I don't know what the answer would be there in terms of number two, but number two is going to be a four or five-star quarterback. So don't count that out. They just have a guy that didn't have those accolades coming back as the starting quarterback, Stetson Bennett, of course, from last year's national championship team. So they've built a stable there. We'll see how they manage that here over the next year or two. But, it is offseason time. So a lot of the focus still on Josh and Swain is Tennessee baseball and the Super Regional coming up. Now, summer workouts, recruiting is really interesting because they had that big weekend a week and a half ago. And I think this next, 5 weeks or so, let's see how it plays out from a recruiting standpoint. But June's a slow month, typically. Not this June. So we're having a lot of fun every day on Josh and Swain. I plugged Connor Pavloni, Peter Burns earlier in the week as well. Those are some interviews to go back and check out from the show.
He's Josh_Ward on Twitter. Send him a happy birthday shout. Josh, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, Josh Ward right here on Locked On Vols for Ward Wednesday. Hey, the Built Bar, the Caramel Brownie, a battered Built Bar. I told you about it earlier in the week. It is fantastic. 17 grams of protein. Of course, it's covered and 100% chocolates, and it tastes just like a brownie. In fact, I would actually substitute a real brownie for this caramel brownie Built Bar because it tastes that good. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar. It is fantastic. And if you want that one or any other flavor of the Built Bar, you can go find tons and tons of selections. If they think that it's going to taste good, chances are they've already created it. You can find all that at Built.com. Go to Built.com. While you're there, use the promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That's at Built.com. All right, boys and girls, Locked On Vols. We're going to conclude here with this gem of a segment. I'm here for a Wednesday, and I know we're up against it. I'm sorry we're running a little late here today, but this is what I wanted to get into today. And I know you're probably saying, why'd you wait till segment three? Well, it's just how I programmed it, all right? I had to get some other things in, especially Josh Ward. But we might carry this over into tomorrow because this is a really good conversation. It's something that just, you know, came off a whim earlier this morning or earlier Tuesday morning on the starting lineup with me and Tyler Robbins and Will West. This wasn't even programmed into the show, but it's such a great conversation to have. The question, okay, what are the qualifications for a VFL? VFL, you hear it all the time. You know, I'm a VFL. I mean, there was a song, Vol for Life, y'all. You know, it just kind of is what it is, right? I mean, it's catched on the last couple of years. It was started with Derek Dooley, and I get all that. It was, you know, intended for one thing, but it's kind of grown into another thing. I think that's fine. First and foremost, I'm not jury. I'm not the executioner here. What I say is not that I'm not trying to say what I say is what needs to go here. Okay, these are just my opinions, and I got the opinions of a lot of two VFLs and or actually three VFLs and one voice of a Tennessee sporting team. We're gonna get to that here in just a minute on what they believe a VFL is because I'm curious. I put this out there on Twitter. A lot of you guys maybe listening right now maybe chimed in, and please continue to do so in the YouTube channel as well if you'd like to. The YouTube chat, what's a VFL? You know, for so long, I thought you could only say VFL. This is my personal opinion. Once upon a time, I only thought that you could say VFL if you were a player, if you put in the blood, sweat, and tears, if you were a letterman, if you, you know, played football, played basketball, played any other sports. That's what I thought a VFL was. It's grown on me over the couple of years to where then it's gone to, if you went to the University of Tennessee and graduated, like that was your school, then, you know, why on earth would you not be considered a VFL? I mean, your family's put in time and money in that university. You got a degree from there. You went to every single home football game and basketball. I mean, you were a part of the experience. So I'm like, okay, well, that could be a VFL too. But I've got a lot of friends. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a lot of friends. You know, I didn't go to Tennessee. Okay. I went to a small school in East Tennessee, Carson Newman. You guys know that. I got a lot of friends that went there with me that went to other, you know, places, maybe ETSU, maybe other universities across the country, but big time Tennessee fans and consider themselves VFLs. And for the longest time, I'm just like, gosh, I don't agree with that. Like, why on earth are you calling yourself a VFL when you graduated from another university? That makes no sense to me. But, you know, die hard Tennessee volunteer football, basketball fans, whatever the case may be, baseball fans now, it just kind of is what it is. And so I'm like, okay, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. But then I got, you know, sitting here thinking recently, you know, some of these guys, I'm just saying an example, not just my friends, but, you know, example, some of these guys might not have, and girls, might not have graduated from the University of Tennessee, but have season tickets, football, baseball, basketball, Lady Vols. They continue to go and support the team. They're there every Saturday. They're there every game day. They continue to give money to the university. So who in the world am I to sit here and say that that doesn't constitute as a VFL? So, again, it's very open-ended. And as you can tell with me, my opinions changed for quite some time. I'm still leaning more towards what I said before than what I just said in terms of what a VFL is. But I think a VFL is open to interpretation. I think it truly, truly is. And I think it's grown and the fans have run with it. And I think that's awesome. I truly, truly do. But if you ask anybody, you know, what's the definition of a VFL? You know, who constitutes as a VFL? I think you're going to get a different answer a lot of the time. And so on that note, let's hear from some VFLs who I will say are VFLs because they went to the University of Tennessee. They played a sport. They graduated. Here's what they have to say. Jabari Davis, Juice, the Gator Killer. He joined the show, TSL, the starting lineup, Wednesday morning. And we asked him point blank. We said, hey, we're having this argument off the air and a little bit on the air. What is a VFL in your opinion? Here's what Jabari Davis had to say.
I say somebody that put in the blood, sweat, and tears to be here. You know, somebody that stayed with the program through all the trials and tribulations, that never gave up. And played every year that they were here, not necessarily being you know, a star player, but somebody that, you know, embraced an opportunity to play at this university, to attend school here, to be a longtime fan here, and, you know, never backed down, never disrespected the Power T, never really talked down about the Power T, and just, you know, ride or die type people. So I think those are the qualifications that make you a VFL. If you played here for a year or two and hopped in the portal, now you can't claim VFL.
So Jabari Davis is kind of in the camp that I was at first and saying, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, a player who finishes playing career at the University of Tennessee. I agree with that. I don't see anything wrong with that, all right? Eric Ainge, former quarterback at the University of Tennessee, of course, a colleague of mine, caught him in the hallway this morning. I said, hey, what's a VFL mean for you? You know, what is VFL to you? Here's what Eric Ainge had to say.
To me, a VFL is anybody that loves the Vols. It started as a, you know, former player type thing. You're your Vol for life. But then the fans quickly adopted it, and alumni and everybody, and it became this slogan for, I love the orange and white, therefore I'm a VFL. And I believe that. I agree with that. If you want to specify to someone who played, you just call them a letterman. Like, I'm a Vol for life and a letterman. They're separate. But if you love the Vols, you're a VFL.
And I think it's kind of morphed into that. I think it's, you know, just like what Eric said, anyone who loves the Vols, and that's completely okay. So I found that very, very interesting. I sent a text out to Ramon Foster, VFL, of course, co-host of J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, Tennessee. And I sent this out to him this morning. And this is what Ramon Foster had to say when asked, what is a VFL? He said, one who starts and finishes with the Vols. Me personally, I don't know if I can say a guy who transferred out is a VFL. Maybe if they did 3 years and hit the portal for good reasons, but you got to finish there for me, in my opinion. It's a few dudes I came in with who I wouldn't consider VFL, but that's just me. They were a Vol. All right, so that's Ramon Foster. That's a different take on this. And then, of course, I caught up with John Wilkerson, who's the voice of Tennessee baseball, who all you guys love. And I said, hey, John, what's a VFL, you know, to you? And this is what John Wilkerson had to say. I think if you played or were a part of any team of Vols or Lady Vols, head coach, assistant, trainer, manager, etc., if you were a part of the day-to-day process of competing or getting them ready to play, you're a VFL or LVFL. So we're getting mixed reviews here, even from those who've been in the program. So is there a right answer here? No, there's not a right answer here. Absolutely not. I put it to Twitter. I said, hey, what are the qualifications of a VFL? Snapper underscore Vol, great guy. If you guys know who Vol Snapper is, you will back me up. Huge Tennessee fan, awesome, awesome guy, loves his Central Bobcats. Snapper says, I've not missed a Tennessee home football game in 48 years. I think that qualifies as a VFL. It's hard to argue that, Snapper. Michael says, being a Vol fan since you've been a kid. You know, B. Allen says, if you're still a fan after the last 16 years, you're a VFL. Again, hard to argue that. Playoff Chase says, Eric Ainge said it best a few years ago when I asked him. He said, man, Dooley came up with that. They can be whatever you want. It was indeed a tad more colorful. You got another Twitter user chiming in and said, I should be a VFL. I pay for my daughter to get her master's from UT. Mike says, graduate from the University of Tennessee, and I think that's a big one. Thomas says, finishing your playing career as a Vol, that's a big one. Terrence adds on to this and says, only one prerequisite, you can't go into the portal and still be a VFL. I agree with that to an extent. I'll get to that in a moment. You left the Vols. If you transfer in and finish your playing career with the Vols, then you're a VFL, in my opinion. I approve this tweet. Eric chimes in, and this is my favorite response to my tweet. He says, and when I said, what qualifies as a VFL? And he says, I don't know, maybe being a Vol for life? I quote tweeted and said, I love this, because I LOL'd. I laughed out loud. He said, hey, I meant no harm by that. I just thought it was a silly question. I said, no, that's funny. I just thought it was hilarious. So you're getting a lot of different reviews here. You truly, truly are. And so I look at, I'll end on this. I know we're up against it. I'll end on this. Look at Eli Wolf, okay? Former Tennessee tight end. He came in here. He played 4 years. He got his degree. He lettered here. He graduated, went on and played at Georgia. That's a tough one because he went to Georgia, but you played here, you lettered here, you got your degree. When you get your degree, in my opinion, Yo, that's all she wrote, right? Jerry Garantano was spent 5 years here, broke his body. You talk about Jabari Davis saying blood, sweat, and tears, broke his body. Played a lot of football here at the University of Tennessee, okay? You might not like him, but he was here for 5 years. He gave his all for Tennessee, and he graduated, went on, and finished his career elsewhere. That's a VFL, in my opinion. Brandon Kennedy, who was at Alabama, transfers into Tennessee, spends 3 years here, gains two more degrees, finishes his playing career here. That's a VFL, in my opinion. Henry Tuoltuo, Key Lawrence, Quaveris Crouch, they started their careers here. They left. They didn't gain a degree. They didn't stay here 4 years. They left. That is not a VFL, in my opinion. Let's look at basketball, too. And this is really, really interesting as well, because this is where it varies. You know, I'm big on if you were here, you graduated here, if you leave early, a lot of times I don't consider you a VFL. But look at Grant Williams. Was here for, 3 years? Two-time SEC Player of the Year, 4 years, maybe, I don't remember. But he had another year of eligibility left. Left early, was a first-round NBA draft pick. You're VFL. Go make your money. You're VFL, in my opinion, all right? Look at Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer. Look at Kennedy Chandler coming up. Spent 1 year in the program, all right? But the two of the three so far went on and were first-round draft picks in the NBA draft. Kennedy Chandler, likely a first-round draft pick in the NBA draft. I'm not going to fault those guys for going and making, setting themselves up for life right now, because you never know what can happen. Those guys are VFLs, in my opinion. But like someone brought up Devontae Gaines, the ticket, right? A former Tennessee basketball player. He transferred out to, George Mason. No, he's not a VFL. He was here for 2 years, left the program, right? So, again, no right or wrong answer here, in my opinion. It's up for debate, and it's a good conversation to have, because I do like what Eric Ainge said. The fan base is run with it. I think it's really, really neat. So, anybody you ask, try it today at work. Try it today in the gym. Try it today at a family gathering. What constitutes as a VFL? What do you think a VFL means? Would love to hear you guys and your thoughts. _ Caner at Locked On Vols, the YouTube channel. Get in those comment sections. At Caner on Air on Facebook if you want to find me there. If this carries over and this got some momentum, we'll bring it on the show tomorrow. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. So interesting stuff, for real. Interesting stuff and a great conversation to have. All right, that's going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols, your Wednesday show. Big thanks to Josh Ward for stopping by the show and hanging out with us today. Got a couple more fun topics the rest of the week in terms of content creating, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. Your homework, what is a VFL? I would love to hear from you. Chime in here at _ Caner and at Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Now, your second listen, try the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. It gives fans an in-depth look on the biggest prospects, the latest player rankings, and, of course, the big boards. Follow Locked On NBA Big Board every single day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you find your podcast. Guys and gals, thank you so much. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, throw me 5 stars, and let's do it again tomorrow. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody.